And he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Now I invite each and every one of you, every man and woman, boy and girl, every operator of this machinery, every instrumentalist and all, to join with all of us together as we do not say the Lord's Prayer, but as we all together pray the Lord's Prayer, shall we? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
If you do not know, then in a few moments you will know that this is a historic session as we look together at the Sunday School Board and the very vital ministries of this board in our lives and in our churches and in our convention. I recognize Dr. Scott Tatum, who is the chairman of the Sunday School Board, who will introduce this program.
The theme of the program this evening is the voice of thanksgiving. If you will turn in your book of reports to page 77, you will find many reasons for which to give thanks to God. Page 75. Extending from page 75 through page 97, there are many reasons that will cause your lips to cause phrases to come forth from them, making up the voice of thanksgiving. We'll not take time to read in detail much of this report, but at this time I take joy in moving the adoption of the report.
Motion has been made that this report be adopted. Is there a second? Is there any discussion? If not, if you favor the adoption of this report, would you signify by saying aye? If opposed, by saying no. It is carried.
Thank you. Two matters were referred to the Sunday School Board from last year's convention. You'll find the response of the Sunday School Board on page 76. The first had to do with the recommendation that the Sunday School Board be encouraged to give discounts to pastors and other ordained servants of cooperating churches. The Sunday School Board, in two of its meetings and in a number of its committee meetings, gave detailed study to a number of involvements that would be necessary if discounts were given to persons indicated in the motion of last year. On page 76, there are at least a few of the reasons for the Sunday School's Board's requesting that you give us additional time to study this matter. In the first place, the principle of giving discounts to ministers without giving discounts to other church employees and to laymen as well constitutes quite a problem. Second, financial problems of a discount system itself involve a number of almost insurmountable difficulties. In the third place, there's a great problem of administration, determining who is and who is not a qualified ordained minister under a system of bookstore discounts. Fourth, price controls and government guidelines existing at the time of the study raised serious questions. Fifth, contracts with seminaries. A number of seminaries formerly had operated bookstores themselves. They asked the Sunday School Board in some cases to assume the responsibility for those bookstores. Already they had made commitments for certain discounts to seminary professors and to students for certain textbooks, and a number of complicated formulas are involved, making it well nigh impossible to treat everybody exactly alike, since varying circumstances prevailed at the various seminaries and other institutions at the time agreements were entered into. And when the Sunday School Board makes a contract, it of course lives up to that contract, and Southern Baptists would expect that the Sunday School Board would be true to every commitment that had already been made. And sixth, the question of whether or not to limit the discounts to Southern Baptists or Baptist ministers, or whether to include ministers of other denominations. I sat with two of the committees wrestling with this. Some of the ministers said, "We are glad that we have moved beyond the time when our salaries were rather inadequate, and certain business institutions felt that they needed to do something special for the preacher." Most ministers, I find, and members of the committee felt, would much prefer to be paid an adequate salary and to enter into any store and to pay the same price that everybody else is paying, and to have a great degree of self-respect that might not be possible under certain other circumstances. So the committees and the general board wrestled with this thing for months, and because there are still problems to which we do not have the answers, but because the Sunday School Board desires to do the will of the Southern Baptist Convention, the Sunday School Board simply reports, "We're still trying to find a way to do that which is right and to do that which Southern Baptists want." In a moment, you'll be given opportunity to ask questions if you need to ask questions. But having sat in these committees, having presided over the Sunday School Board as the men have wrestled with these matters, let me assure you, the Sunday School Board administration and the elected representatives from various states are trying hard to do what is right on this matter. The second reference had to do with the proper observance of the Lord's Day. Someone presented a motion last year suggesting that Southern Baptists, of course, and Southern Baptist boards and agencies, of course, would want to do our best in maintaining the proper observance of the Lord's Day. The Sunday School Board and its employees are going to do all that they possibly can do to maintain a sense of respect, a sense of uniqueness, a sense of worship as it relates to the Lord's Day. Of course, sometimes you will come to assemblies that are operated by the Sunday School Board, and the Sunday School Board employees will be trying to do for you and for your guests that which would be right, that which you would want to do for guests in your home. But there will not be any irreverence. There will not be any unnecessary work accomplished on the Lord's Day, but only that which is right. Now, according to Southern Baptist policies, we want to give you the opportunity to ask any questions about anything in the report or about anything that has been in the response of the Sunday School Board to the motions that were referred to them last year. Are there questions at this time? Then let me present to you Dr. James Sullivan, the president of the Sunday School Board, who will present certain other of the leaders in the work of the Sunday School Board as they discuss some of the items that are of interest to you in the report of the Sunday School Board. Dr. Sullivan.
Thank you, Dr. Tatum and Mr. President. Three of our divisions have brief presentations that they wish to share with you. The first one is Mr. James Clark of Broadmoor Division, things you are interested in as a Southern Baptist.
Thank you, Dr. Sullivan. One of the most important accomplishments by Broadmoor Press during this year has been the publication of the book, The Southern Baptist Convention and Its People, 1607 to 1972. This is the most complete history of Southern Baptists ever written. It's a book of 477 pages, a book written by Dr. Robert Baker. Dr. Baker is the foremost historian among us. He's been teaching at Southwestern for more than 30 years. Dr. Baker tells the story of Southern Baptist in seven chronological periods. He gives about a third of his space to the time prior to the formation of the convention. For the first time, the whole story is told within the context of the nation's development, including population statistics, economic conditions, and a description of the relationship of the people with their convention. Divisive issues and controversies get their share of attention and fair treatment. Tomorrow afternoon at 2:52, if we're on time, Dr. Baker is going to take about 8 minutes to talk about some of the highlights of Baptist history that he has had during this research for the book. No one can truly be informed about the convention and its people without reading this book. It pulls together thousands of facts and provides a remarkable perspective for understanding the Southern Baptist Convention and its people.
Dr. Alan Comish of the Church Services and Materials Division is next.
Two things I want to mention. First, we are tremendously excited about the new Baptist hymnal that will be released next March. We think this is the greatest Baptist hymnal ever offered the churches. Look forward to it. Come to Nashville to share with us in Praising 75 in a week dedicated to gospel, music, and to the hymns of the church. I want to present for you now five brief television spot announcements, two from the church training department and three from the Sunday school department. These were produced in cooperation with the Radio and Television Commission, and they are available to you on request from the Sunday school and training union departments. The first spot on Church the Sunday Night Place has a localized tag ending, giving an example of something you might do in your area. There is no charge for using these announcements other than the charge the television station might make for the time.
Church, church.
Some Sunday nights used to be kind of lonely. But programs and attitudes are changing, and people keep coming back. Lots of things are different. Even the music makes my rafters tingle. Come see what it's all about. I'll be looking for you.
This is the place. Let's get started.
I'm full of exciting things on Sunday night. Come and see.
Baptists are going door to door, meeting people, offering to share the joy of the Christian experience and the warmth of Christian friendship. When your Baptist neighbors call, welcome them and share the blessing of God's law.
And this is people to people,
people to people,
all sharing together God's. Study? Nah, I got too many things to do now.
Wouldn't you enjoy life more if you had some idea what it's all about?
Well, yeah, but I'm not much for this churchy stuff.
I'm talking about knowing for yourself that there is a God who cares about you. The Bible's got all that in it.
It does? Hey, maybe I'll try it.
There's a funny thing about the good life. Sometimes it can all seem pointless, with no direction or purpose. Most of us need to know where we're headed and why. We need guidelines that point us in the right direction. The Bible provides these guidelines to those who take time to study it. Join a Bible study group and find guidance for the good life.
Thank you very much. And now to tell us some of the recent improvements that have been made at the conference centers at Ridgecrest and Glorieta, we have the director of the conference centers division. Here's Bob Boyd.
Thank you, Dr. Sullivan. You no longer have to wait for summer to come to attend conferences at Ridgecrest and Glorieta. 25,000 individuals have already attended winter conferences this past 9 months. Those attending Ridgecrest this year will see many new and exciting changes. A beautiful new Spillman Auditorium rises in the site of the former building. Sculptured in stone and concrete to blend in with the mountains, it adds a new dimension of beauty to the campus. These pictures of Crystal Springs and Florida Cove apartments show the new color scheme, which will soon be applied on all campus buildings. A complete master plan of Ridgecrest has been developed. The first stages of it underway already. These include 80 new Royal Gorge-type apartments, 32 of which are ready for occupancy this summer. 200 motel rooms will be added, along with a new $175,000 recreation area, which is in use already this summer also. In spite of earlier threats of a gasoline shortage, registrations and attendance seem to be coming along just about as we had predicted them to be last year. Then there's still time for you to register for one of the conferences at Ridgecrest or Glorieta this summer or for the winter conferences that follow. We hope you'll come join us. We'll be looking for you in the mountains, either the west or the east.
Tonight, as you came into the auditorium, you were handed a very lovely booklet entitled The Sullivan Years. If you did not get a copy of The Sullivan Years, or if you would like to have another copy of The Sullivan Years for a member of the Southern Baptist Convention who is not present tonight, then as long as these last, you may get them at the end of the program. The voice of thanksgiving is the theme of the Sullivan Years. Two men have served the Lord Jesus Christ and Southern Baptists effectively for the most productive years of their lives. As they come now to the time of retirement, Southern Baptists, of course, would want to give proper recognition to Dr. James Sullivan and to Dr. J.M. Crow. So many things bring joy to our hearts. We have so much for which to be grateful. We want Dr. Sullivan to know, and we want Dr. Crow to know, that Southern Baptists are indeed grateful to God for them. This afternoon, there were literally hundreds of you who came by to say personally to these two men and to their families, we thank God for you. Now, on behalf of Southern Baptists, Dr. Norris Height is coming to give special recognition to Dr. J.M. Crow.
Dr. and Mrs. Crow, I would like to request that you come and stand by my side as I attempt on behalf of my fellow Southern Baptist to pay fitting tribute to you for the years of service you have so generously given to your church and your denomination. I suppose if I could choose a time in which to live and serve the Lord, of all the exciting years there has been a Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. and Mrs. Crow, I think I would choose the time that God assigned to me. And my reasons are simply that during this period of time, the caliber and quality of leadership has been the greatest of them all. And to my way of thinking, you typify that kind of leadership. Dr. and Mrs. Crow, there comes a time in everyday's activities of those who serve the Lord, a need for somebody to be a steadying influence, to be a certain surety when we need to be reassured and reminded that everything is all right. You have brilliantly filled that position in the years that you have been amongst us. At the same time, these dear friends who are here with me tonight would agree that we needed resource people who could think creatively and act distinctively and stand uncompromisingly for the great convictions which have made us strong. These have been your characteristics also. One other thing gives me gratitude personally for you, and I must publicly acknowledge it because I owe you this debt of appreciation. I want to say, Mrs. Crow, and everyone else here would share this with me, I've never seen my friend Dr. Crow except that he had one disposition, one mood. He was the same every time I saw him. No matter the subject, no matter the pressure, no matter the situation, Dr. Crow was always just that kind of person. And so tonight, as a token of gratitude from us who are here and those who are not here but would like to be, it is my distinct privilege to present this plaque that has been prepared and designed just specifically for you. For in some measure, it says what we want to say, and I should like to read it to you at this time. On behalf of the 30,000 churches cooperating with the Southern Baptist Convention and their messengers to this 117th session assembled in Dallas, Texas, this 12th day of June 1974, the trustees of the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Convention present this scroll to Dr. J. M. Crow as a token of our appreciation for 21 years of dedicated service as Executive Vice President of the Baptist Sunday School Board. We express our appreciation herewith for perceptive vision applied to the organization of the board's internal structure, to the implementation of programs assigned to it by the convention, and to the planning and production of its materials and services. For unselfish devotion applied to the at-home phase of the board's operations, and for genuine willingness to assume primary administrative responsibilities for a supporting role. For a personal interest in and concern for the board family, which has been instrumental in maintaining a high degree of efficiency and morale among its employees. For the gracious spirit of cooperation and support supplied by his lovely wife, Edna Earl Elliott Crow, Through these years of productive service to our denomination, along with these heartfelt expressions of appreciation, we further express our earnest prayers and good wishes for a rich and rewarding retirement during which our Lord may continue to bless the effective ministry of these devoted servants amongst us. Through the years to come, we shall continue to thank God upon every remembrance of you. Dr. and Mrs. Crow, on behalf of a thankful constituency of these churches and these thousands of Baptists, it is my joy to present this scroll to you tonight, and may God bless you.
Mr. Devon Woods, who is a layman in Nashville, is vice chairman of the trustees of the Sunday School Board and is chairman of the executive committee of the Sunday School Board. He will come to give special recognition to Dr. Sullivan.
Dr. Tatum, fellow messengers, it's a very great pleasure for me at this time to have the privilege to express the appreciation of the trustees of the Sunday School Board and Southern Baptists whom we represent to Dr. and Mrs. Sullivan for their leadership and their place in Southern Baptist life during these years that he has served in the capacity of president of the Sunday School Board. If I may, I'd like to ask Dr. Sullivan and Mrs. Sullivan to come and stand with me for just a moment, please. As you know, Dr. Sullivan has served as the president of our board for 21 years, which have been most significant years in Southern Baptist life. Significant years in the growth and development of the Sunday School Board and its service to our churches. It's been my happy privilege to serve as a trustee of the Sunday School Board for some 10 to 12 years of this period, and during that time to come to know Dr. Sullivan very well and to admire him greatly as I have observed the way he has given himself to the task to which God called him. To those of us who are privileged to be associated with him, he consistently amazes us with his insight and his knowledge. He amuses us with his ready wit and his delightful sense of humor. He inspires us with his dedication to God and to Southern Baptists, and by his dynamic leadership has challenged us to attempt great things for our Lord. And I can say of a certainty that Dr. Sullivan is a living example of the fact that God does call the right man to the right place at the right time. And just as surely, I can say that Mrs. Sullivan is a beautiful example of the devotion of a lovely wife as she has prayerfully supported him and continuously encouraged him, and by so doing has kept on keeping Jimmy keeping on. So it's my pleasure at this time to present this scroll, and as I do, I think I'd like to ask their family who are here, some of their children, grandchildren, perhaps some nieces, to just stand and let us recognize them for the part they have made and the contribution they have made to the success that Dr. and Mrs. Sullivan have enjoyed. Would you stand, please? Now may I read this scroll as it's presented to Dr. and Mrs. Sullivan on behalf of the 30,000 churches cooperating with the Southern Baptist Convention and their messengers to this 117th session assembled in Dallas, Texas, this 12th day of June, 1974. The trustees of the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Convention present this scroll to James L. Sullivan as a token of our appreciation for 21 years of dedicated service as president of the Sunday School Board. We express our appreciation herewith for the positively Christian business insight applied to the mammoth business operations of the board, providing excellence in materials at a minimum cost to our churches, for the prophetic courage demonstrated in facing and dealing with the issues of these sometimes troubled years, always with primary concern for the welfare of the churches, for the completely unselfish devotion with which he has given himself to our people, going about preaching, teaching, and speaking wherever we have been assembled, for the beautiful spirit of cooperation and support lent by his lovely wife, Velma Scott Sullivan, to his endeavor on our behalf during these years of service. And along with these heartfelt expressions of appreciation, we further express our earnest prayers and good wishes for a rich and rewarding retirement, during which our Lord may continue to bless the effective ministry of these devoted servants among us. Through the years to come, we shall continue to thank God upon every remembrance of you. Dr. and Ms. Sullivan, we are grateful for you. We are indebted to you.
How can I begin to express the feelings of my heart and the gratitude I really have for what you have done in these more than 20 years that I have sought to serve Southern Baptist? And I appreciate more than I can say the recognitions given to this lovely wife of mine and these children who have been so faithful and have been just as committed to my calling as I have been, and frequently having to travel 10 and 12,000 miles a month all over the world, doing the work of the Lord, even when they were much younger. Never have they complained a single time. But their lives are related to the church in devotion and love, and that has been an inspiration to me. And the lovely wife I first met when she was a year and a half old went home and told my mother that the cutest little girl had moved nearby that I ever saw. And I thought I was raising her the way I wanted her and found she was raising me the way she wanted me. And I appreciate her being with me in these years in real devotion and service. Let me say that the work of the Sunday School Board is absolutely magnificent because it is a miracle institution. It did not come on the scene in the early days of the Southern Baptist Convention. It was too expensive an operation. Baptists were too diversified. I could say that many of the people could not even read the literature had we produced it. So it was a struggle in those beginning days, and it took a long, long time until 1863 before this convention finally authorized the publishing of educational materials for the use of the churches. And then the war was on us. And of course, like everything else, it went into bankruptcy. And that left the task of publication floundering. It was assigned temporarily to the Home Mission Board. But immediately, Dr. I.T. Titchener, who its executive secretary, saw the impossibility of combining the publication of educational materials and the promotion of an education of a missionary program throughout the nation. Because it's impossible to do publishing without diversity of opinion and oftentimes with conflict, because our Baptist people do not see exactly alike. and I would defend that to the end of time. Nothing would kill us quicker than for all of us to see everything exactly the same way. And so I'm grateful for the diversity of Southern Baptists, because anywhere you have two men and they're both thinking, they will not come out at the same place. And any time two men see exactly alike on everything, one of them has committed his thinking to the other person. And so we have tried to provide diversity for our churches, big churches, little churches, north, south, east, west, up the cove in Kentucky, on the cutting edge of a thriving city, in a brand new subdivision, and we've sought to have the materials at hand for the use of the churches in the teaching of the Word of God. I've loved the Sunday School Board since before my teenage years, because just as I was becoming a teenager, I went to my pastor and asked him if I could use his books when he was not using them. I love to read. And he said, with one condition, and that is that you'll put out the literature of the Sunday School Board for the church organizations when it's delivered. He knew what he was doing, but I didn't. And I knew because I read every publication of every age group of all the materials that that little South Mississippi church ordered each quarter. And it shaped my life. I knew the style of writings of the writers. I knew the doctrinal positions they took. I knew the names of the people in the Bible from the things they wrote. And I saw then that the printed page could get where an individual could never go. I never dreamed I would be responsible for that organization. But God saw that the day would come when I would be directed in that way. We went into it in an era of growth. And the Million More in 54 was the first great project of my administration. God blessed it remarkably. We then went into the period of self-examination and reorganization. We had to do it to broaden the base. The whole convention had to do it to broaden its base. Then we were in the turbulent 60s, and we didn't understand them. We all knew we were in revolution, but we did not know that the change was bringing the revolution. We thought the revolution was bringing the changes. But people lacked the ability to adjust to what the world was doing by way of constantly shifting. And so we found ourselves in hard years. Right now, the climate is better than I've known it in my entire Christian ministry. There is an attitude of optimism, a mind to work, eyes toward the future. We are united as a Baptist people. We're in the healthiest internal situation of any major denomination of this nation, Catholic, Protestant, or Jew. And if we do not make the most of this opportune moment, it will be the greatest failure of our lifetime. My prediction is that the next decade will see the greatest growth in Southern Baptist life and organizations that we've known in our history. And this will be my prayer and commitment to God to support my successor to this end. Thank you, and God bless you.
The voice of thanksgiving. The voice of thanksgiving involves individuals saying to Dr. Kroll, to Dr. Sullivan personally, thank you. The voice of thanksgiving involves the giving of these plaques that all generations may know that Southern Baptists did have the voice of thanksgiving. The voice of thanksgiving involves these wonderful men saying thank you to Southern Baptists for the opportunity of service. But all of us want to give our thanks to God. This is a time for worship. This is a time for prayer. It is so appropriate that the chairman of the committee, looking for a president of the Sunday School Board, back in 1953 could be here tonight on behalf of Southern Baptists to give his voice of thanksgiving to God for all of us. Mr. Maxie Jarman of Nashville, Tennessee, chairman of that committee, will lead us as we pray.
Let's bow our heads. Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. We thank thee, our Father, that we know that thy wisdom and thy watch care is always available. And we thank thee, our Father, that dedicated men respond to the call that thou hast placed upon them. And tonight, our Father, we thank thee that Jim Sullivan responded to that call that came from thee. And we thank thee that thy hand has been upon him and has guided him and has helped him, and it has all been to thy glory. And our Father, we thank thee that we can always look to thee and know that thou art in us and we are in thee, and that as we have fellowship with thee and with one another, that it shall all be to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as God led the Sunday School Board in 1953 to the choice of Dr. Sullivan, and just as Dr. Sullivan led the Sunday School Board in the selection of Dr. Crowe, so Southern Baptists can be assured that in these days, the same God who was leading in the revelation of his will then is leading in the revelation of his will now. At the appropriate time, Dr. Sullivan announced his forthcoming retirement. He did so in order to give the Sunday School Board ample time for the appointment of a selection committee, time for prayer, time for investigation, time for the choice to be made known, and time for his successor to enter into a period of training and orientation. As chairman of the Sunday School Board during these last 2 years, it has been my joy to watch the selection committee as they have sought God's will. I believe God was leading in the selection of the committee. No person on the selection committee came with any preconceived notion as to who the successor to Dr. James Sullivan would be. Each person came searching in prayer for the will of God. Scores of suggestions were made. Every suggestion received careful and prayerful attention. God's hand seemed to be leading every step of the way. Every meeting was saturated in prayer. Of course, all human means were used to discover the will of God. God led the Sunday School Board to the selection of Dr. Grady Coffin. There's only one reason Dr. Coffin is here tonight, and that is that God has laid his hand upon him. It gives me a great deal of pleasure at this time to present to you Dr. Grady Coffin and Mrs. Coffin. Dr. Coffin, Southern Baptists. Southern Baptists, the new president of the Sunday School Board.
It is with a keen sense of the spiritual heritage of the Sunday School Board the noble service of those who have gone before, and with a sense of responsibility that I come to this hour with gratitude to Southern Baptist for an overwhelming reception, for your kindness, with thanksgiving for the things which you have said and done. I come to the Sunday School Board at its highest hour.